This episode of the Ortho Bullets podcast will go over the topic of thumb collateral ligament injury from the hand section on orthobullets.com. Let's start this episode with a quick summary. Thumb collateral ligament ruptures, most commonly the ulnar collateral or UCL, are athletic injuries that lead to a decrease in effective thumb pinch and grasp. Diagnosis relies upon thumb MCP radial ulnar stress exam and MRI studies. Treatment involves anatomic repair or reconstruction, which reliably restores the essential function of the collateral ligament. Now, let's get into the episode. With respect to epidemiology, as far as the incidence, ulnar collateral ligament or UCL injury is 10 times more common than radial collateral ligament or RCL injuries. UCL injuries comprises of 86% of all athletic thumb injuries. As far as the demographics, acute injuries are common in many contact and non-contact sports, such as football, soccer, and downhill skiing. Acute injuries are eponymously known as skier's thumb. Chronic injuries due to attenuation of the ligament under repeated stress are eponymously known as a gamekeeper's thumb. Moving on to the etiology of thumb collateral ligament injury, with respect to pathophysiology, the mechanism of injury involves a radially directed force causing hyperabduction moment at the thumb MCP. For example, a stationary ski pole and strap contacting the moving skier's thumb into hyperabduction. The pathoanatomy involves what's known as a Stenner lesion, which is an avulsed ligament with or without bony attachment that is displaced dorsal and superficial to the adductor aponeurosis. This is usually the distal end and is retracted proximally. Know that the interposed adductor will not allow healing without surgical repair. The pathoanatomy can also involve a Stenner-like RCL lesion, which is rare given the overlying abductor aponeurosis. Note that RCL injury leads to joint subluxation rather than overt instability. Now let's go over some relevant anatomy. We'll go over osteology, ligaments, and biomechanics. So starting with osteology, the thumb metacarpal and phalanx form the metacarpal phalangeal joint. Remember that the metacarpal condyles are more flattened than finger metacarpals, which increases stability. Moving on to ligaments, both the UCL and RCL are composed of a proper collateral ligament and an accessory collateral ligament as well as a volar plate. The proper collateral ligament resists load with a thumb in flexion, and the accessory collateral ligament and volar plate resist load with the thumb in extension. Both ligaments run in a dorsal to volar direction from proximal to distal. Know that valgus laxity in both flexion and extension is indicative of a complete collateral rupture. Moving on to the biomechanics, the thumb is a diarthrodial joint but allows for 6 degrees of movement, that is flexion-extension, adduction-abduction, and rotation. Static stability is provided by bony anatomy, collateral ligaments, volar plate, and dorsal capsule. Dynamic stability is provided by extrinsic and intrinsic muscle groups. The extrinsics include the extensor pollicis longus, extensor pollicis brevis, and flexor pollicis longus. The intrinsics include the abductor pollicis brevis, flexor pollicis brevis, and adductor pollicis. Finally, know that ulnar-sided tendinous/aponeurotic insertions are more robust than radial. Moving on to the classification of thumb collateral ligament injury, the one to know is the UCL/RCL instability grading system, which is divided into 3 grades. Grade 1 is a sprain with no joint instability, which is an incomplete tear. Grade 2 is characterized with asymmetric joint laxity, but the endpoint is present. This is also an incomplete tear. And grade 3 is characterized with joint instability without an endpoint and 30 to 35 degrees of joint space opening, or 10 to 15 degrees more than the contralateral thumb, which is a complete tear. Moving on to the presentation of thumb collateral ligament injury, the history involves a fall on an outstretched hand and an abducted thumb. This can be secondary to a ball or racket strike. Common symptoms include pain at the ulnar aspect of the MCP joint, which is worse with pinch grasp, most common for a UCL tear. Other common symptoms include radial-sided MCP pain, which is the most common complaint for an RCL tear. On physical exam, on inspection, rarely there is a visible deformity of the joint. However, on palpation, there will be tenderness at the site of ligament injury, that is distal for the UCL and proximal for the RCL, and you may also palpate a tender mass signifying a Stenner lesion. On motion assessment, you should do what's known as a radial ulnar stress exam. Stress both at extension and 30 degrees of MCP flexion. This avoids allowing the phalanx to rotate. Radial instability in 30 degrees of flexion indicates injury to the proper UCL. radial instability in extension indicates injury to the accessory and proper UCL and or volar plate. Local anesthetic may be added to eliminate patient guarding. Provocative tests include an anterior and posterior drawer. The metacarpal is held stationary and the phalanx is translated anteriorly and posteriorly. The amount of translation and absence of an endpoint may signify volar subluxation and RCL rupture. Provocative tests may also reveal weakness with resisted pinch. As far as imaging, recommended views on radiographs include a PA, lateral, and oblique. An optional view is a stress view, which is controversial, but may aid in diagnosis if a bony avulsion has already been ruled out. Findings on radiographs in the setting of a UCL injury may include an avulsion or condylar fracture, a sag sign, which is supination of the proximal phalanx relative to the metacarpal, volar subluxation of the proximal phalanx, which is seen on the lateral view and indicates associated dorsal capsular tear or extensor tendon injury. In the setting of an RCL injury, you may see pronation of the proximal phalanx. Moving on to MRI, this can aid in diagnosis if the exam is equivocal. In terms of sensitivity and specificity, an MRI has 100% sensitivity and specificity. Finally, as far as ultrasound, accuracy is operator dependent. However, as far as sensitivity and specificity, this is 76 to 88% sensitive and 81 to 83% specific. There is 81% accuracy, 74% positive predictive value, and 87% negative predictive value. As far as the diagnosis for a thumb collateral ligament injury, this is clinical and can be based on MRI. As far as the diagnosis of thumb collateral ligament injury, it's made by history and physical exam with the thumb MCP radial ulnar stress exam and confirmed with MRI studies. Treatment for a thumb collateral ligament injury can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management includes immobilization for 4 to 6 weeks, which is indicated in grade 1 and 2 partial UCL and RCL tears. It's also indicated in the setting of a less than 15 degrees side-to-side variation of varus/valgus instability. As far as outcomes of non-operative management, there is an excellent rate of return to sport without residual laxity or disability. Operative options include RCL/UCL repair, reconstruction of the ligament with a tendon graft, adductor advancement, and MCP fusion or adductor advancement. So indications for an RCL/UCL repair is an acute grade 3 injury with a greater than 15 degrees side-to-side variation of varus/valgus instability, as well as greater than 30 to 35 degrees of opening. Another indication is a stenar lesion. As far as outcomes, there's greater than 90% with outcomes rated excellent for UCL repair, and 96% good to excellent outcomes for RCL repair. Moving on to reconstruction of the ligament with the tendon graft, this is indicated in the setting of a chronic injury, which is defined as older than 3 to 8 weeks, and another indication is incompetent ligament tissues. As far as outcomes, there is a 92% satisfaction rate in one series. Moving on to adductor advancement, this is indicated for acute UCL rupture, which is done in conjunction with a UCL repair. Outcomes include 100% return to sport reported in one series. Moving on to MCP fusion or adductor advancement, indications include chronic injuries, and it's also a salvage procedure for failed repairs or reconstructions. Now, let's talk about some of these management techniques in a bit more detail. As far as immobilization for 4 to 6 weeks, the technique will involve immobilization in a splint or a cast to offload the injured UCL or RCL. Some protocols advocate for the use of removable splints and immediate active and passive range of motion. However, the patient must avoid stress on the ligament during exercises. Grip and pinch strengthening can begin around 4 to 6 weeks. Moving on to RCL repair, the approach is a straight longitudinal incision on the radial aspect of the thumb. Know that the abductor aponeurosis may need to be resected to expose the joint capsule and ligament, and take care to spare the dorsal cutaneous branches of the radial sensory nerve. As far as the technique for RCL repair, pull-out sutures or loaded suture anchors can be used to reoppose the ligaments to its origin. You can then repair the MCP joint capsule and abductor tissues. A K-wire may be placed to immobilize the joint temporarily. Moving on to UCL repair, the approach is an S-shaped or chevron incision overlying the MCP joint. The technique will involve transosseous sutures, suture anchors with or without suture augmentation, and direct ligament repair to the periosteum have all been described. Rehab will include joint immobilization leaving the IP joint free, and strengthening is begun at 4 to 6 weeks. Complications include skin necrosis if a pull-out suture technique is used, and another potential complication is decreased pinch strength. Moving on to tendon reconstruction with a tendon graft, the approach is an S-shaped or chevron incision overlying the MCP joint. As far as the technique, multiple techniques have been described using various tissue sources, configurations, and fixation constructs. A palmaris longus autograft can be weaved through bone tunnels and can be secured with interference screws, a cortical button, or suture anchors. Moving on to adductor advancement, the approach is an S-shaped or chevron incision overlying the MCP joint, and as far as the technique, the adductor aponeurosis is repaired to the native distal insertion of the UCL. Finally, with respect to MCP fusion, the approach is dictated by prior surgeries and concomitant pathology. As far as the technique, there are various fixation methods like K-wire, compression screws, or plates. Know that the MCP is fused in 15 degrees of flexion. Now let's talk about some complications. We'll go over stiffness, persistent instability, and superficial radial neuropraxia. As far as stiffness, MCP and IP stiffness is the most common complication following repair. As far as persistent instability, the incidence is 15% with residual instability for grade 3 injuries treated with immobilization. The treatment for this will be ligament reconstruction for chronic injuries. Finally, as far as superficial radial neuropraxia, this is defined as numbness distal to the incision, and the treatment is observation. Finally, let's end this review session talking about prognosis after thumb collateral ligament injury. Know that return to play rates approach 100% following anatomic repair. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, a 24-year-old downhill skier crashes while spreading powder in the Italian Alps, injuring the ulnar aspect of his thumb. The young adventurer complains of persistent pain and instability about his thumb. Examination reveals MCP laxity in 30 degrees of flexion, but not in extension. The MRI would most likely reveal what? And the choices are 1, the proper ulnar collateral ligament or UCL is torn off the proximal phalanx. 2, the proper UCL is torn off the metacarpal. 3, the proper UCL and accessory UCL are torn off the proximal phalanx. 4, the proper UCL and accessory UCL are torn off the metacarpal. And 5, the accessory UCL is torn off the proximal phalanx. The correct answer to this question is 1, the proper ulnar collateral ligament or UCL is torn off the proximal phalanx. So if there is ulnar collateral laxity in flexion only, it implies isolated injury to the proper UCL and the accessory UCL is intact. To quickly review, skier's thumb is the most common upper extremity injury during skiing with a 7-32% prevalence and arises from a hyperabduction load. Static stabilizers include proper UCL, accessory UCL, shape of the joint, dorsal capsule, and volar plate. The adductor pollicis is the dynamic stabilizer. Most ruptures involve the distal end. A Stenner lesion occurs in 65-85% of all ruptures and are treated surgically. In flexion, the proper UCL and dorsal capsule are taut. In extension, the accessory UCL and volar plate are taut. Laxity in flexion implies isolated proper UCL rupture. Laxity in both flexion and extension implies both accessory UCL and proper UCL are ruptured. Swelling at the MCP suggests a Stenner lesion, but is not specific. In a Stenner lesion, the UCL is avulsed from its distal proximal phalanx or P1 attachment and trapped over the adductor aponeurosis. Bean et al. Explored the effect of changing the proper UCL attachment site on range of motion in cadavers. For the metacarpal origin, they found that radial deviation increased with palmar placement and decreased with proximal placement. For the phalangeal insertion, they found that radial deviation increased with dorsal placement and decreased with distal placement. Range of motion was decreased with both distal and palmar placements. They concluded that non-anatomic reconstruction alters normal MCP range of motion, and the insertion and origin landmarks should serve as guides for UCL repairs. Carlson et al. Explored the attachment sites of the UCL and RCL of the thumb metacarpal phalangeal joint. They found that the UCL metacarpal insertion was 4.2 mm and 5.3 mm from the dorsal and articular surfaces, respectively. The phalangeal insertion was 2.8 mm and 3.4 mm from the volar surface and articular surfaces, respectively. The RCL metacarpal origin was 3.5 mm and 3.3 mm from the dorsal and articular surfaces, respectively. The phalangeal insertion was 2.8 mm and 2.6 mm from the volar and articular surfaces, respectively. They concluded that accurate definition of the anatomical attachment sites will aid surgical repair. And moving on to the final question, Creation of a stenar lesion, as found in gamekeeper's thumb, requires combined tears of the proper and accessory ulnar collateral ligaments in order for the ligament to be displaced by the adductor aponeurosis. Which of the following most accurately describes the role these ulnar collateral ligaments, that is the PCL/ACL, play in thumb MCP joint stability? And the choices are 1. PCL is primary restraint to radial deviation with MCP joint in flexion, and the ACL provides restraint to radial deviation with the MCP joint in extension. 2. PCL is the primary restraint to radial deviation with the MCP joint in extension, and the ACL provides restraint to radial deviation with the MCP joint also in extension. 3. The ACL is the primary restraint to ulnar deviation with the MCP joint in flexion, while the PCL provides restraint to ulnar deviation with the MCP joint in extension. 4. ACL is the primary restraint to radial deviation with the MCP joint in flexion, while the PCL provides restraint to radial deviation with the MCP joint in extension. And finally, answer 5, PCL is the primary restraint to ulnar deviation with the MCP joint in flexion, while the ACL provides restraint to radial deviation with the MCP joint in extension. The correct answer to this question is 1, PCL is the primary restraint to radial deviation with the MCP joint in flexion, and the ACL provides restraint to radial deviation with the MCP joint in extension. So the proper ulnar collateral ligament, or PCL, runs from the metacarpal head to the volar aspect of the proximal phalanx and resists radial stress with the thumb MCP joint in flexion. The accessory ulnar collateral ligament, or ACL, lies palmar to the proper ligament and inserts onto the volar plate. The volar plate and ACL function as the principal restraints to radial stress with the thumb MCP joint in extension. A stenar lesion is described by displacement of the distal end of the completely ruptured UCL such that it comes to lie superficial and proximal to the adductor aponeurosis. Trikanad and Wolf report a case of distal pull-off of the ulnar collateral ligament, or UCL, of the thumb MCP joint with 2 fracture fragments. They identify the need to look for a second fragment of bone in these injuries, where an apparently undisplaced fracture is noted at the base of the proximal phalanx. They suggest that this second fragment probably indicates the location of the distal end of the UCL and may identify a stenar lesion. Newland, in his review article on gamekeeper's thumb, states that criteria for judging what constitutes a complete tear vary from 15 degrees to 45 degrees difference with respect to the opposite side. He goes on to state, however, that many authors choose an absolute value of greater than 35 degrees of joint laxity compared to the contralateral side when judging a tear to be complete or incomplete. When a complete tear is identified, surgical repair is recommended. That's all for this review about thumb collateral ligament injury. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on OrthoBullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.